It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the MD's Fantasy Football Show with Dan Mader, giving you the X's and O's of all things fantasy.
We got two teams coming off the bye in this one. We got San Francisco going into Jacksonville, favored at -3 with an over-under of 46.5. The Jaguars have been undefeated against the spread on the road. At home, though, they're only 2-2. So, and haven't necessarily looked particularly great at home either. Now, as a San Francisco fan, I will tell you, I was still a little bit hesitant to say I'm going to take San Fran to cover because I need Trent
Williams. I'll take it.
No. Chris, let me just say why. I need Trent Williams back. And fantasy owners need Trent Williams back. You need Christian McCaffrey to be Christian McCaffrey. You need Ayuk and Debo, who's on his way back, and George Kittle to have a chance to give you the upside of what you need them to give you. That all stems from Trent Williams being out there on the field. Coming off the bye, he still has not practiced. Now, with him not practicing still, haven't ruled him out. There's some talk that maybe he'll come back tomorrow, but it's not generally a good sign. And they never really told us officially exactly what the ankle issue is. Being the timing of it, it's definitely a high ankle sprain. And when you're a bigger man like that with Trent Williams, maybe you wind up falling more on the 6-week side of the timeline rather than the 4-week side of the timeline. I just want to give that analysis because that is important when you're talking about Christian McCaffrey and everybody else and Brock Purdy, especially on this roster. Jacksonville is a good matchup here, but I am going to take San Fran to cover at -3. I'm expecting, especially with the Chase Young trade, that they just come out a little bit juiced up for this one. Jacksonville's never been particularly a great team at home. So, Chris, what are you going to say there?
No, I definitely agree. I think the thing that helps, you know, Williams is definitely a key to this offense. I'm not going to get it twisted. But having Debo come back, you can now use Kittle, unfortunately for fantasy owners, back as the extra blocker for that running attack, yeah, for the extra chip guy out in pass protection, which allows Birdie to get the extra time that he needs so you can attack these Jacksonville corners. So I do think the matchup is the key to this game, where the running back can get it out, can attack it out of the backfield, the receivers can get open versus corners. That's the key for me in 49ers, where it's not going to be hard to slowly move the ball against Jacksonville.
No, and I tend to agree with that. That takes care of my George Kittle note too, by the way. May take a target hit with Debo back and potentially still no Trent Williams. However, if you have George Kittle, you're still playing George Kittle as a tight end one. That just becomes part of the territory when you draft George Kittle. If you draft George Kittle, you know what you're getting yourself into. You're going to have weeks where it sucks, and it's going to have weeks where it's absolutely fantastic, and you're going to have nothing else in between. Yeah, you're just not going to know. It's the 49ers in general. Chris, you said Debo Samuel. I don't know if everybody heard you or not, but that's everybody in the San Francisco 49ers. Ayuk hasn't been the most consistent. He's been the most utilized, but he hasn't been the most consistent fantasy-wise. Debo hasn't. The only person that is Christian McCaffrey. That's the only person who is every single week. I do want to talk a little Trevor Lawrence here, Adam. I do have him at QB12. I'm still lower than the ECR. They got him at QB9. But I think, not just for this game, I think the rest of the season, he's just a streaming quarterback based on matchup. The offense has a lot more firepower to be more than that. Travis Etienne, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram. Of course, the list goes on and on and on. Eventually, they'll get Zay Jones back at some point. We did see Trevor Lawrence, step up in the second half of last season, but his first half wasn't this bad. He's QB 21 on a points per game basis. Do you think coming out of the bye, And remember, San Fran, they got torched by Kirk Cousins. They got torched by Joe Burrow. That's supposed to be the caliber of quarterback Trevor Lawrence is meant to be. Do you think coming out of the bye, Trevor Lawrence starts to get this thing turned around?
It's tough because I want to have faith in Trevor Lawrence, and I do think that things are going to go better this second half of the season for him. I think he looked worse in the first half of last season from a fantasy perspective. Obviously, this season's been worse, but ETN's been a lot more involved, I would say, or at least better. What worries me, though, is their offensive line has been atrocious, especially when it comes to pass blocking. And with the Chase Young trade, Chase Young on one side, Bosa on the other, you got Chase Young on the bye week. That sounds terrifying for this Jaguars offensive line.
Fair point.
So I kind of am concerned for this particular matchup, but I do think that Trevor Lawrence can rebound a little bit from where he's been. I don't think he remains a low-end QB2. I think he'll challenge for the high teens, whether he makes it to what you expected him to be this season. That much for me is still up in the air.
Is he still a quarterback 12 in your mind right now? Because here's what I got him ahead of. I got him ahead of Russell Wilson, Will Levis, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, Josh Dobbs, Jordan Love, Deshaun Watson. Like, those are the guys I have him directly ahead of, which puts him at 12. So would you have him ahead?
Yeah. I think 12's fine. I wouldn't go any higher. So what did you say ECR had?
ECR has him at 9, so they have him inside the top 10.
Yeah, I think he's a fringe 12. I think with the injuries, with the buys this week, he's a top 12 guy, but I don't know if that's an every week thing. But I think he's always going to be kind of in that matchup range that you were saying.
I mean, basically what I have him directly ahead of him is Geno Smith playing Washington, Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, Jared Goff, Sam Howell. That's what I have directly ahead of him.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Everything else is pretty much straightforward until we get to Christian Kirk, because you're playing Christian McCaffrey, obviously, number one. Number two is Travis Etienne, of course. Brandon Ayuk, I do still have him as a top 10 play, even with Debo Samuel back, who cracks my top 20 as well. Christian Kirk, I am way higher on than the ECR, actually. ECR's got him at wide receiver at 19. I got him as a wide receiver 8 play this week against the San Francisco 49ers, who have allowed the 6 most fantasy points to wide receivers. Now, maybe the defense gets better, especially up front, rattles the quarterback, and they can't get as many passes off. That all of that is completely true. But the only tough matchup that any wide receiver has is Tre'Davious Ward, who will most likely be matched up on Calvin Ridley most of the time. And unless the San Francisco 49ers in the bye change who the slot corner is, Isaiah Oliver cannot stay with Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk is too fast for him. He's too quick for him. And Kirk has been the main guy for this passing attack for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like Christian Kirk a lot this week. Chris, am I too high on him?
I don't know if I have him as high as you do, but I definitely think Christian Kirk's a must start this week if you have him. I do love the matchup. You talked about the slot receiver versus 49ers defense is the key. You can definitely take advantage of that. We saw Deontay Johnson week one in Pittsburgh, and you'll be able to, before he got hurt, have a good game despite Pittsburgh's offense being terrible. So I think that, you know, Adams' concerns about the pass rush is going to be warranted, but when it comes to Christian Kirk, it doesn't hurt him because he can easily still get the ball. Even if it's 3rd and 18, he catches the ball for 10 yards. So I think you're going to see Christian Kirk definitely involved in this offense. I think he's got the more best matchup of all the receivers. I think, you know, a little rich for my blood, Dan, but like I said, I definitely think it's a must start.
Yep, that's pretty much what I'm pointing at that point. And Calvin Ridley's not a must start for me. I got him at wide receiver 34. You're going to see a good matchup on paper, sure. ECR's got him at 26, so even there, he's still a high-end wide receiver 3 for them. But for me, it's just been terrible for Calvin Ridley. It's been untrustworthy for Calvin Ridley. And even in a heavy bye week, I still find 33 other guys I'd rather play over Calvin Ridley right now with his production that he's had. I can't say the usage has been bad. The usage overall, those numbers have been fine, but they're not getting the ball. He's not getting separation, which was my whole fear for him coming into this season to begin with. So I don't think he's a must start this week. Adam, are you going to play Calvin Ridley? Are you going to look for other options?
I think I'd be in the looking for other options camp. I think this is definitely, and there's been a lot of them this year, but I think this is certainly a Kirk week where he's the one I feel a lot better about. Because again, I think this pass rush can get home quite a bit. I think that the time to throw will likely not be especially high. So for a guy that doesn't separate well, but needs to go downfield, I don't think it's going to happen for Ridley, also having the hardest matchup in the secondary. There's like nothing going well for him this week. So I'm not going to bury him too deep, but this is not a week where I'm super excited about him. There doesn't really seem like there's anything trending in his direction for him.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. That's reflected in the rankings. Evan Engram, you still playing him as a top 10 tight end, and George Kittle, we already talked about him. Any other notes for this game, guys? Okay, let's go to our next match.